Blonde hair, don't care? Is this really what feminism looks like? We're going to be asking all of these questions and more on our recap of the fourth and final season of Unreal here at AfterBuzz TV. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so, so much for tuning in to this special of the Unreal After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. We are going to be talking all about the newest additions to the cast, Candy Coco, and of course, Tommy, Rachel's failed attempt at redemption for Maya, Quinn and Rachel's complex relationship, and of course, lastly, feminism and how this final season succeeded or didn't in conveying the values that they instilled so deeply in us from the beginning. I am your host, Sam Davidson. Also, guys, we're going to go extra long for you tonight, but this is it for season four. We're going to be talking about everything, and you're going to want to stay here, comment, let us know what you thought. We'll still look at the comments, but this is it for Unreal.
Sad.
I know.
Should I have a tear?
I'm excited that we're here together again one last time.
Yes. Hey, everyone. I'm Leslie Powers. I'm excited to get into it.
Hey, party people. I am Erica Edwards. Let's get it on.
What's up, guys? I'm Taylor Gates. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Of course, guys, don't forget to follow AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV. We love hearing your feedback. We're checking the live chat right now. We have a lot of feelings about this show. I'm sorry it took us so much time. A lot of us were out of town. Also, we were digesting the information that was bestowed to us. So, as you all know, this is going to be spoiler-filled. We're going to tell you, starting now till the end, everything that happened. So, don't watch this if you haven't seen it. Overall thoughts, let's start with you, Taylor.
It was a journey. There were lots of peaks. There were lots of valleys. It was just honestly a roller coaster. I feel like some of the moments were amazing and totally, you know, deserving of the final season. And there were other moments I definitely could have done without.
I would say very much like a roller coaster that, like, goes off its rails at some point. But, yes, there were highs and some fun lows. But, yeah, a little... I like that they went all in, like, okay, we're going to crash and burn and just go for it. And then sometimes I'm like, but don't go there. But otherwise, you know, 50-50, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like they threw it all in with the kitchen sink. It was just like anything and everything that could possibly happen to each one of these characters. And I felt some of the characters didn't necessarily get a good finish that I wanted, or storylines didn't get... Yeah, Jay. A lot of storylines didn't really get wrapped up, but at the end of the day, I liked the second half of the season better than the first. I thought they got back to their roots a little bit more towards the end. And I enjoyed the finale, so I'm glad that I stuck it out and that we're here to talk about it.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So this is going to be a great exercise for me as a journalist and a TV lover. I've done this show since the first episode at AfterBuzz. I pitched them the show. I love the show. I was really devastated by the whole entire thing. I felt personally victimized for having watched it all this time and having it end like this. I kind of, in a way, want to act like season three was the end. There's definitely some things I enjoyed. It's always nice to see familiar faces, but there's a lot of things we'll get into, and we all have our own opinions, and you guys do too. That's why I'm kind of excited to talk about it, even though, you know, I was a little upset. Let's say that. So this season is Everlasting All-Stars, which is basically, if you are a fan of The Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelor Pad, all that good stuff. And we have people from past seasons, only two of which, three of which we have known as an audience from the other seasons we've seen. We have August, this new lady, Candy Coco. Noelle, don't know her yet. Rodrigo, didn't know him. Didn't know Sophia, didn't know Jack. We know Maya, and Roger is also a part of this. So basically, you're there to make $1 million and pair up with someone. Candy Coco comes in, and she's a single mom stripper who Chet and Quinn are trying to build another reality show with called Stripper Queens. What did you guys think about this Candy Coco storyline? I want to know what you thought about the storyline and the actress and her performance separately.
I mean, I loved Candy Car. I thought she was the best part of the season, in my opinion. I think that actress, I can't remember her name, Natalie something, I think.
Yes.
She's wonderful, and I would love to see her do more. The storyline itself, actually, I thought she had the biggest arc of the entire season. I thought she started off, like, people thinking of her one way, and then ended up being, like, deeper, which I guess is what Stripper Queens, the narrative, would have been about.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
We missed out on that, I thought. I thought that would have been a good show. I would watch that, Stripper Queens. But I enjoyed her storyline altogether.
Sure. I did not really enjoy her storyline until maybe, like, the end when she kind of got a little bit more authentic with August or whatever. I liked that part. But I felt like her as an actress, like, she had some of the best lines in the show overall. I mean, she just had some of the real, like, just the funny moments. So, yeah, she had some great moments, I think, in the season. I loved her season, but I loved her in the show generally, her lines and stuff. But her storyline, I was like, okay, wait, what? You all decided this on vacation? Like, it just seemed sort of, like, randomly thrown in. But she did add a good, you know, like, a good lightness to it. So
also,
like,
what kind of porn were Quint and Chen watching on this yacht while they had their little month of vacation together? Mm-hmm. They go, we have a genius new idea, Stripper Queens.
Right.
Where did this the romantic from? Month, you know, come back, we're going to do Stripper Queens.
Honestly,
now.
It makes so much sense to me.
Yeah.
With those two characters, I'm like, yes, I get why how you would get to this point,
yeah.
Being you two. I agree with Leslie. I thought she was a real high point of the season. I thought she was a real, like, highlight, maybe one of the best parts, honestly. And I liked her since the beginning. I just liked how she kind of, I mean, you knew exactly kind of who she was. I mean, she obviously had more depth that she showed at the end, but I mean, she was proud to be herself and she would embrace herself. And I think, like, she was the most feminist part of the whole season because she was like, listen, I have a son, he's everything to me, but I also am a stripper queen and I want to watch the show, guys, please.
I know.
Someone write it.
I completely, you know, I agree with all of you guys in that I think just her storyline was unnecessary. They could have done it. She was a past contestant that turned into a stripper after the show. I just felt how random. Why are they setting this up for something in the future, another show that we're never going to see? The show is ending. I mean, I guess when they made it, possibly they were thinking of a future season or storyline.
Right.
But, yeah, it just didn't make sense. But she was the most feminist part of the season, which I think also is a testament to how feminist the season was. It doesn't mean a stripper can't be feminist, and she definitely was, but there was no other woman really that. And she, the only reason she was so feminist was just because she said, this is messed up. She had values, mm-hmm. whereas everybody else just really didn't seem to at all.
But I will say about her getting in the mix, like, not as an all-star, I think they did that on purpose to stir up the other contestants to
probably.
Be like, she's not even here for the right reason.
Yeah, she was, like, the ultimate outsider.
Yes.
But what I really loved about her was, which I found shocking, she was the only person who was kind of like, oh, okay, like, you're not going to produce me. Mm-hmm. And everybody else was kind of still falling for Rachel's stuff. And I'm like, didn't y'all do a season before? Like,
seriously.
I thought you were on the show before. Why are you all like, okay, Rachel, sure. Like,
you learned nothing?
How are you an all-star? You don't remember that Rachel messed you up the last time you were here. Like,
it's
how
Stockholm Syndrome.
That?
That's, I think, 101. I mean, all these people just went back to have a reunion with their captor. And
I missed you.
Right. You're so mean. I was like, didn't she play you crazy in whatever season you supposedly were on before? Like, how do you not recall that?
And our awesome producer, Juliet, is showing this picture of when Candy was on this yacht and there's the big showdown of when she's wasted but really telling Rachel a lot of truth. And she has this Rodrigo thing. So Rodrigo's a dude that was the one of the suitors a few years back, like, really big D-bag. If we thought Adam was a jerk, then Rodrigo is just
taking the cake.
He's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
He's, well, I'm just realizing this now that I'm speaking this out loud. For Bachelor fans out there, there was a bachelor named Juan Pablo.
Oh.
And he was the most offensive and worst bachelor ever, and he blamed it on a language barrier. He was a Venezuelan, I think. And he'd be like, it's okay. And,
oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah, that's what it
And all the girls would be crying, and they're like, "It's not okay." And he just kept on saying it. He goes, "It's okay is a nice thing to say. It's okay." Yeah. They're like, "So you don't care?" And he's like, "It's okay."
And I forgot about that. Good point.
So I think that probably was taking from that a little bit. That's actually
smarter now that you're saying.
Yeah, I know. Now I'm like, okay, I get it. There he is, Rodrigo.
Oh my god, it looks like his abs are painted on in this picture.
It looks like he's wearing an ab vest or something.
Yeah, like a bob vest.
I know, it's a Halloween.
And he's, you know, not a super nice dude. Candy and him get together for a little bit. Candy gets kicked off the show. They end up finding a way for her to return, and she gets with August. We're going to get into him next a little bit, but overall, we like Candy. It's kind of a shame we'll never see her again.
Yeah, I just wish that we would have met her sooner, because I think she had spark.
Yeah.
Unless someone writes Stripper Queens for me.
Taylor, I think the job's all on you.
I'm ready. I'm here for it.
Ghostwriting for Stripper Queens. Well, speaking of August, Rachel has her sights set on him. Mm-hmm. I would too, you know? I would be like, August is the first person I need to speak to this evening. Were you guys excited he was back? Were you sick of his character and storyline at all?
I was excited he was back, but I missed his man bun. I'm just going to be honest. That bun was like so. Added a little extra, je ne sais quoi, to August that, you know. But yeah, he's cool.
I understand why they like kind of had to bring him back, just considering, you know, Quinn's storyline and the fact that he and Rachel's like supposed they kind of had unfinished business, I guess. But I was a little bit bored of his character, to be honest. He was just felt kind of one note. Like, yeah, he loves helping people and digging wells and has an accent. I'm like, cool. That's his whole shtick.
Yeah, and he wanted to use his $1 million to, like, help children or whatever he said he was going to do. Yeah, I was a little bored with him, too, to be honest. He's not bad to look at, though, so I guess if you're going to look at somebody.
I mean, if I'm going to get upset about characters they ruined, it's not necessarily August because he was always one note.
True.
And, yeah, I would have liked to see a little bit something else come out about him, whether he's a bad guy or just really actually the best person in the entire world. But I was grateful to see him, but also he's one of the only people, like I said at the beginning, that we knew. I wanted to see Bart Edwards on my television again, and I'm talking about Jasper, of course, from last season. He was too good for this.
But he went back Darius. I mean, they had that Black Bachelor. It would have been fun.
He and Ruby are living happily ever after in my mind.
No, they were just dating. They probably broke up by now. I'm just...
No.
Don't say this.
My bad.
That's so sad. But what do you guys think of... I mean, we're jumping around here. We're jumping character by character, obviously. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know what happens at the end, they win $1 million together. And they end up riding off into the sunset. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think this is gonna last? No.
I don't know. I actually thought they were really cute together. I thought they made a good connection.
Yeah, it's like the whole opposites attract thing. Like, you never would think that these two, from vastly, you know, kind of different realms, would ever end up together. But I don't know, when they built their little house and, you know, made dinner, I was like, I can see this. Like, this is kind of cute. I like it.
Yeah.
I feel like they'll... date, but like I don't really see him in Miami, so I don't know the logistics.
Maybe she'll go to Africa.
Yeah, she can strip anywhere. Seriously, I mean
that's job security, really. Like, you could go to any place in the world and find a gig
and be a queen.
Yeah,
your stripperdom
in the stripper hut. Yes.
Why he's digging irrigation holes or whatever.
I built this hut just for you.
Oh, God. I'm thinking of so many things. You know, it's just amazing. Him having, like, all of these, like, migrant workers. And he'll be like, I'll, like, entertain y'all at lunch. And just dancing around stripping. And him be like, babe, come on, they need to get back to work.
That was your Australian accent.
Yeah, it's
that
was British. It's a British Australian. But yeah, I mean, it was, it just doesn't matter because we're not going to see them anymore. But I liked it. I wish they could have built up their romance a little bit more before just the last couple of episodes, because he's jumping from him and Rachel so fast. And, you know, we'll get to them. But
Yeah, it definitely happened really fast.
Because if they won, they also were talking about franchise opportunities and having their own
right.
show.
Oh,
him
that's
getting
right.
on
Happily
Stripper
Ever
Queen.
After.
Yeah.
Ever after.
Happily yeah. Everlasting.
Ever Aster. I mean, yeah. I didn't. I wanted to see the ass, too. I know. Hopefully in Happily Ever Aster, they'll show August's butt again.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's never a sad day.
Yeah, another, some more fan fiction for you, Taylor. But also, Ready? Taylor has some also things to tell, awesome things to tell you about the network, other shows to watch.
Yeah, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows because, you know, just because Unreal's over doesn't mean you have to be done with us. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they are completely optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll be super, super grateful for you guys. For now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Yes.
Yay.
What other place are you going to get a big finale recap book report here? You know,
exactly.
Guys, worked very hard on it all day.
How are we going to summarize 8 episodes?
Exactly. But we do yeah. it. Of course, next, Alexi and Jay. We're going to talk about their storylines. Passport to Dance is still a thing. Alexi has been in rehab. He is sober now. They end up bringing him back to the show for the Everlasting contestants to compete to be a guest judge. Meanwhile, Jay is the one with a very, very serious coke problem.
Kind of. I mean, they showed it a little, but not a lot.
He's like a, like how you have working alcoholics. He seems like a working drug addict. Because he was like, hi, but like, okay, I'm still doing, you know, didn't
yeah,
seem
he
to
didn't
affect
really
him.
Like,
he's like, sniff, sniff, okay, no, I'm good.
He didn't seem to have like a big crash and burn.
Right, at from all. It. At all. Like, he's just like, okay, I'm sniffing and now I'm doing my job.
Well, I mean, not to cocaine's defense, but it gets you going. That's the point of the drug, right? So right. It's not like when you drink or you smoke marijuana that you're loopy. But his character has changed it completely. Mm-hmm. He's a jerk. And I don't know if we're blaming it on the drugs or we're blaming it on the writing, because there's some other characters, I think, also that they just kind of threw away the entire character they'd built for the past 3 years. And with this, I'm like, at least we can blame it on the drugs.
In the yeah. defense, I do buy Jay's, like, vast character shift, like, more so than other certain characters, just because not only is there, like, the drugs involved, but you have to understand that he's under so much pressure. Like, he's producing Everlasting and trying to manage, like, Passport to Dance and get that all set up and try to keep Alexi under control, which is not an easy job either. So I kind of understand, like, why he would be more on edge.
And also Alexi, like, dissed him last season. So I feel like maybe he's still a little, like, heartbroken and like, ugh, I have to work with this guy who I was in love with, who pushed me to the side, basically.
Well, I think he's probably heartbroken over his ex, whom he probably still realizes, like, the love of his life, and he just hates himself, you know, for messing it up. And I think he hates Alexi for that relationship ending. You know, I'd love to know what
and for getting him into coke.
Yeah, but I feel like for me, the issue is kind of with August. Like, he's just so one note. These are all, like, truly speculations, because they never showed us any moment where he was, like, reflecting on anything or just, you know, any sort of, okay, is the guy from Louisiana, wherever, is he? Did he email you? Did he text you? Like, nothing at all outside of his sort of straight, I'm going to be kind of a jerk and maneuver and get things done. So, I think that was a little disappointing with him, because we had so much backstory over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to now have, like, nothing, kind of. And him just doing coke was kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
But Jeffrey Bo Chapman did get a role on American Horror Story.
Oh, he did. So. I can't wait. Yay. I saw his picture, you know, with all the others just, like, ready to go. All those actors, like, we're going to scare you so bad. And I was like, yes! Yay. But Juliet, our producer, she also watched the show. Juliet, did you think that the change in Jay's character was really, like, intense, or do you think it made sense?
I think it definitely was a very intense storyline, but I kind of agree with Taylor in the sense where he is under such a pressure that he was bound to crack. However, they didn't really explore that much, as you guys were saying. He does the drugs, and then he keeps it moving, and it didn't really affect anything else, and I wish they had explored it a little bit. It seemed very, in terms of that storyline, very superficial.
Yeah.
The fact that this was an 8-episode season, I think, hurt it a lot. And, like, they could have expanded on so much of this stuff with a 10-episode season again.
Yeah, because he didn't get in trouble. Like, he didn't, like...
No.
Like, Quinn didn't notice and, like, fire him or anything, you know? It's like, Rachel can't get away with anything, but Jay can get away with having a problem, apparently.
He kind of starts to learn his lesson as far as that he's super messed up as things continue to get worse. So, this thing with Alexi's accident... It all happened very fast. I've watched it a couple times, but I've also been like, what the hell is this? I mean, it's some go-kart or racing date, and they put Alexi in this car, and did they manipulate it to have him?
Mm-hmm. Why, Tommy did.
Yeah, Tommy messed with the car, and they literally, Alexi's a dancer, and they ruined his freaking life.
Mm-hmm. Or was it Rachel that, like, listened to Tommy when he was explaining about cars and then she ruined it?
Rachel, yeah.
But then he placed the coke in Alexi's car.
So it was like a joint effort, kind of.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah. You're saying Tommy placed the coke in
Alexi's car. Tommy placed the coke, but Rachel dismantled something in the car.
Yeah, because, I think Tommy was talking to her about go-karts or whatever, and that's when she was like, oh, I was asleep or whatever, which was... actually a very funny line. And then she did it, and I think when the investigators came, he put the coke in there so that they wouldn't realize that, you know,
and
that it wasn't
true. I just have to say, I think, I mean, all of the people I've interviewed on Unreal ever, Alex Sparrow was by far one of my favorite people I've interviewed, and I was so excited to see Alexi back. Again, another familiar face, which I appreciated, but was really sad. What ends up happening to him, and that I think when Jay goes to see him in the hospital, that's kind of when maybe he's going to start to change, but I'm also a little bit naive, optimistic. This show, I shouldn't ever expect anybody to change. I mean, do you guys think that after that it brought him back to real life, Jay, a little bit?
No. I don't. I mean, I think he was sad about it, but I think he just wanted to ruin Rachel so much this season, or, like, out her, that was kind of what fueled him. So it wasn't coming from a very positive place, like what was putting fire under his butt.
I felt he genuinely felt badly for what they had done to Alexi. But, he still got a better job. He just, I don't even know if he stopped doing drugs, to be honest. So, I don't know. I think it impacted him, but I didn't... That's an issue I think I have with him, with his character. They didn't show that this moment had any change on him, really, at all. So
you saw him get emotional in the room, but, like, afterwards, that was, like, pretty much all you saw was him getting emotional.
Didn't he do coke right after, too? He, like, went in the bathroom and did coke?
Can't deal with it.
On the screen right now.
Oh, hey, that's me.
Is an amazing Alex Sparrow just takes the best selfies in the world. Oh, God.
His teeth are so white.
They are. I think he just moved to Los Angeles. I really hope I run into him at some point.
I'm so sweet.
And I bet you he'll look at me and go, oh, my God, Sammy. And then he's going to run and give me a hug.
That day's going to be amazing.
It's going to be really cute. So, the season, when it ends, has this tidbit with Jay that I was very confused about a little bit. So, he goes into Fiona's office and says, I can save everlasting for you. Let me be, what do you say? The queer person of color, like, together.
Black queer power.
Yeah, black queer, whatever, And he gets a new job. Just as, I'm not sure what that job was.
Well, I thought the way they were doing it was that the network, because of Everlasting's debacle, was going to let Fiona go, and Fiona was going to start her own thing, and then he was going to be, like, head of whatever it is.
So she was going to leave, essentially.
That's what I thought, but it, like you said, it was, like, so quick. I was like, okay. Because he was like, well, I know you're not leaving without having a plan. And then... and then when Madison came in, it seemed like she was saying, well, I know you're going, but I'll go with you, whatever. Mm-hmm. So,
That's true.
I was going to say, she was definitely leaving. You could tell she had that box, the getting out of my office box.
The security is at the door box.
Yeah, you got the go box. And she was putting stuff in there, and as you were saying, Madison came in, and she was like, I know you're leaving, and I think that was what they were trying to portray there.
So yeah. Was Jay telling Fiona, though, because why would he go to Fiona and say, I'll take your job now? Was he saying, I can help you save your job?
No, he was saying, You're leaving, you're going to start your own thing, you need a wingman, that's me.
Yeah, because he said something like Rachel was Quinn's ride or die.
Yeah.
And he's like, so you're looking at yours, or I'm going to be yours, or something like that.
Right. Yeah, because they had the moment a little bit before that where he's, like, kind of blackmailing her, and she's like, you need to aim bigger than this. And so I think that's what the kind of push was for him to be like, I'm aiming bigger now, so I'm ready to work with you.
So, yes. Essentially, we're just seeing another spawn. Like, it's a Quinn and Rachel all over again. No one's learned their lesson. This is
exactly. He was not as impacted by that Alexi scene that happened right before that.
Like, yeah.
Obviously.
I kind of liked that scene, though, honestly. Like, I mean, it's sort of a happy ending for everyone but Madison, which, by the way, I
want to talk about Madison.
We didn't have nearly enough Madison in this season.
No, we did not.
Okay, so that's one of the characters, I think. I'm like, oh, cool, you build this girl up for us for 3 years, make her a real valuable character, and then just turn her into this something. I mean, I don't even know. She was just like a hanger-on. And she's an opportunist. That was always part of her character, but
we had so many great moments at the end of last season where Quinn was like, you need to be your own woman, and you need to make your career last, and I really, really liked those moments, and I feel like we just kind of forgot that happened, which, honestly, maybe in character for Madison, like, I feel like she doesn't really listen or take things, you know, to heart very well, but I wish we would have, you know, seen that affect her a little bit. I just feel like we dropped a lot of things after the season 3 last couple episodes, and I'm like, oh, so we're pretending that didn't happen.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like, or the opposite, that, like, Tommy wasn't that great. Like, you sleeping your way to the top. You need to look further. Like, maybe she's still messing around with Fiona on the side. Well, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about her.
At least she had an excuse with Tommy. He was hot.
He had weird.
No, I'm talking to all the men she slept with in the past. I mean, Chet's adorable too.
Right.
Tommy did not do it for me. It was the creepy, like, rapey smile. I don't know. I couldn't get into it. Like,
Michael Rady 2.0.
Yeah, just couldn't deal. But for Madison, yeah, this season, all you ever saw were when she popped by, they're like, oh, here's the network. It was like, it's just a running joke.
Yeah, and then, like, there was no camaraderie at all. It'd be like, oh, Maddie. And Quinn did it a little bit with her. But everybody else didn't give a crap about her.
Yeah, and she...
Except for Taylor.
I love Madison.
I do, too.
Yeah, I liked her a lot. She could have been snarky still. She could have been sleeping with another executive. Like, she could have done something to remind us of the old pigtails.
Yes, that she still had a character.
Yeah.
Well, next we're going to get to the part that is, you know, I think the most problematic for a lot of people is this whole thing with Maya and Roger and Noelle. So Rachel sees Maya as her younger self, wanting to confront her past. And this entire season essentially is a reflection, I think, of her psyche in a way, is what they were trying to do. It's like Maya, someone I read something, it was on telltaletv.com. They said Candy Coco stands for how Rachel's too slutty, Noelle stands for how Rachel's too gullible, Sophia stands for how Rachel's too eager, Maya stands for how Rachel is too damaged by her past, and Rachel is too much to be a wifey, is what they said. I don't completely agree with all of that, but I think there's different... That might have been what they were going for.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Like a combination of all of the...
Yeah, because she got all of her suitors that she wanted, essentially.
Right.
And these women somehow ended up being a reflection of her. But we all remember, you know, first season with Maya, and it was a super upsetting storyline, actually. We got to interview the actress, you know. We did. Season 1, she's so, so lovely, and I'm glad that she's work again and, you know, is back on the show and stuff. But, yeah, this storyline, to me, I can't believe that they really went there. Let's just sum up what happened. So Maya was raped by Roger in season 1, and she really feels like she can't speak out. And Rachel is promising Maya that they're going to make things right. That's why she brought them here together, which at the end of the day is what she's trying to do, but at the expense of too much. And then Maya tells all the girls about what happened with Roger, and this was such an upsetting scene of all these women turning on her, victim-slaming, shaming, slut-shaming. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think about this moment, and do you think it was reflective of what would have really happened if she would have told a group of women that?
I don't feel like she didn't get a second. I just feel like they were all interrupting her. We're like, well, were you this? Were you that? Like, what are you telling us? Like, what are you trying to say? They were just, like, kind of aggressive with her. So I don't think she felt like it was a safe environment, even with Faith there. Is this the Faith scene you're talking about?
Yeah, and when Faith comes back, also, great, you know, great to see her again.
Yay, love her.
Yes.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like she felt, even with Faith there, that it was a very safe environment, because they were just... The more you question, it's like the more you, as a victim, you're just going to doubt. Like, wait a second, did I? And she's probably just rerunning it in her head. Like, did it go that way? No, I know what I'm trying to say, but nobody's letting me say it. I mean, I had so many issues with the storyline. Yeah. It was uncomfortable.
Yeah, I felt like she never really, you know, I guess due to her fears or whatever, she never really cohesively said what happened. And then, if I recall correctly, Roger comes in, and the way he's spinning it, she is almost confused. Like, she's almost like, wait, maybe, you know, she kind of doubts herself. And with all the girls sitting there watching that, well then, okay, well, if you haven't really told me anything, and he's coming up, he's just more coherent in telling the story. I think there was, it was, I wish she had had the opportunity at least full out say, you know, he raped me, mm-hmm. and got that out.
Yeah. I'm actually remembering now, I should have clipped my original interview with her. What's the actress's name? I'm looking her up right now. She was fantastic, but she told us, in the interview, I remember, and this is a while ago, that there were deleted scenes and that it was a verified thing that, like, Roger, because I said... the key to financial well-being. But I said to her, I was like, it's kind of left questionable. I mean, obviously, he sexually assaulted you, what actually happened, and she said that there was a really upsetting scene that was cut with her kind of, like, putting her clothes more back on than she was, and it was a definite rape thing, and they kind of had cut it out, so... That's super interesting. They didn't show it then, I guess, because now this storyline even would have been that much more terrible to tell.
To bring back, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I don't understand really why they did this.
I think the thing about sometimes with this show is they try to make this, like, commentary on society, which is fine. I think a similar thing sort of happened with the police brutality storyline back in season 2 that was really, really kind of controversial and not handled super well either. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of made that same mistake here, where it's like their intentions, I think, were good. Like, I think they were trying to show, oh my gosh, like, this is what happens to, like, you know, rape victims. Like, they're not believed. Like, this is a real thing that happens. But they just, like, didn't frame it or show it, like, so that's how we felt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just very upsetting.
Well, you know, I hated the storyline.
And I think they also did it, I mean, I know you're probably gonna touch on this, Sam, but I think they did it to, like, push Rachel to her limits, to, like, show how evil Rachel can be to get what she wants, which she's really trying to do good, but she's gotta do something really bad to do the good. And I think it was just too hard to control, and Rachel lost control of it, and that's why it went off the rails.
I mean, I think that, you know, with the police brutality, at least, like, they were dancing a very fine line with that. And with this, feminism is, like, the thesis of this show. Mm-hmm. And sexual assault, rape is something that's been talked about a lot. This isn't new territory for them. And I just think that it could have been handled so much better. And if they were going to do this, it needed to, I don't know, responsibly, I think, be a little bit... more just right for the audience, the character. I mean, I felt even bad watching it. Just as a I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching. This is so sick, and mm-hmm. I feel so sick watching this entire thing. You know, and Rachel with Noelle, she goes and tells her Roger is into her, blah, 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 gets her drunk, and sets up a freaking rape. Sets it up, and they're watching it on the cameras.
That's the thing. They just took it, like, way far. Like, mm-hmm. they took it way too far. Like, they could have had the essence of sort of what they were going for without going, you know, to these extremes and showing this much, I feel like.
Yeah, and I think also just in the story writing, like Noelle was to me almost, or they had her in the beginning, I was like, oh, she's like a Rodrigo stalker. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, Roger likes me. All right. And that's like, you've been in love with Rodrigo since whatever. And so that part, I was just like, okay, they're pushing it. And then for her to be so into Rodrigo, but now she's going back into the room with Roger, I mean, drunk or not, I was like, you know, I think, and the whole Rachel actually setting it up and watching it and waiting and not doing anything was totally problematic, especially since she was a victim herself.
Yeah, and I think, didn't she say, like, I wouldn't have let it happen, but, like, you still, like, that footage is out there for Noelle to, like, eventually see, maybe, or the fact that it's, like, multiple people are recording and watching that, knowing that as Noelle is, I'd say, just as bad as it getting a little further.
Yeah, and I mean, let's say she really would have. I mean, there is no way she can run that fast to have stopped penetration. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, it was just nuts. And I don't think there would ever be a way for them to have made it up at the end. Like, let's hang Roger out to dry, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't even try to make it, you know, just in any way. I thought they were at least going to have some big spectacle, which they tried to do. Julia, I'm interested to hear what you thought about this whole thing. Did it upset you as much as it upset
everybody else? Yeah, definitely. I can't believe that I was watching my screen and this was happening in front of our eyes. They really, really took it to the next level. And it's funny because in the past, you know, we love to hate these characters. We love to see what awful things they're going to do next. And I think that we've seen them do so much that maybe the pressure was on for the writers and the creators that they wanted to go the extra, extra far to top what they've done. However, that was completely lost. We just kind of, instead of love to hate, I feel like all of us kind of hated, especially this scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, with Rachel just completely at that point, I said the only way I will be somewhat happy when the season ends is if she freaking dies. Yeah. I was really hoping she'd die. And what show do you want your main character, I hope they die at the end.
Yeah. You're not even Cersei Lannister does, you know?
Yeah. Like,
exactly. As you're saying, we couldn't relate to anyone and we weren't, you know, striving for their success at all.
Mm-mm. And there was in Handmaid's Tale, I do that after show too, and there is a really sensitive, I mean, there's a couple rape scenes, but there's a very sensitive one that happened this season, and there was a lot of people who had a lot of issues with that too, and even Joseph Fiennes spoke out and saying that there was an additional rape scene that he refused to do because he felt like it was out of character, and if it just didn't make sense for the character, he wouldn't do it. And that's what I think here, I'm like, yes, Rachel goes far, but it almost didn't make sense.
Yeah, it just didn't.
For her own trauma, like, that she would want to relive it. You would think she'd want to prevent it. So, it was out of character, for sure.
Yeah, I just... we'll get into news and gossip at the end, obviously, but we haven't heard much from Sarah Gertrude Shapiro, so I would like to kind of hear more, because she did this. She did this. And I love her, you know, and I think she's great. But, yeah, don't get it. And I just also want to understand the entire aspect of the Hulu. Like, maybe they knew that this was going to be very bad or upsetting. I don't know. But like I said, they have this finale. Roger, they say he's a rapist. And, cool, they tell the world. Really doesn't even serve justice. Like, I doubt that he'll have to do anything for...
And Maya's in jail.
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course. And Maya's in jail. Okay. And they let her sit there for, like, a few days at least.
But Quinn, like, you think that Quinn has these connections to help Rachel. Like, you think that... Like, I mean, she obviously felt pretty bad. Like, she really separated herself after that. You would think that she would have helped her out somehow. I don't know. Yeah, no one had her back at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole thing about making her look crazy was just ridiculous. And then I was like, okay, really? You already doctored the footage. Do you really have to get her?
Yeah, no one cared about her.
Well, Fiona was behind it, too. I mean, it was the network. They were like, we have to go with this doctored footage because we can't show this other thing. And
And it's just so stupid. Like, stuff that comes to bite anybody in the ass every time it goes, well, no, we don't like what happened, but what are we going to do? And people have compared this because Bachelor in Paradise last summer, there was a rape allegation, but it was not like, no, this would never freaking happen. A million bajillion years, and the guy on Bachelor in Paradise, and the girl, it's actually, you know, it's a bit of a sad story and has a lot to do with alcohol and all of that, and that a producer really didn't feel as though she saw a lot of bad things happening, felt she wasn't hurt or didn't feel comfortable telling people that there was, this person's too drunk or they're not giving consent. And but it was very, it was very complicated, but obviously this would never happen. They're in a million years, and I think any network, anybody, studio, whatever, they would go, the chance of us getting thrown in jail for the rest of our lives versus this show failing and maybe me losing my job are two very different things.
Very different.
So,
I mean, Jay was the only one I would say that was definitely like, this is messed up, like, let me try to help.
And he did. He tried. That was the time I saw the Jay that I love.
Yes. Jeffrey.
That was, you know, the one moment. Got to get into Quinn, of course. You know, like we said, she has her big return with Chet. She's very happy. And they did change her character a lot. I enjoyed seeing a nice, happy Quinn, but again, not the same character that was written from the beginning. Did you guys agree at all about her? Just, it's not congruent from past seasons as far as writing?
I felt it was slightly out of character. I did. I think that they changed a lot about her really fast. However, I liked her storyline a lot more than I thought I was going to at the beginning. When she took that pregnancy test, I was like, oh, a pregnancy storyline? Like, I don't know. But then, I mean, you have to remember her past with that when she smashed all the TVs because she found out she could never get pregnant. So I think it was a lot like deeper and more complicated and more interesting than I originally thought it was going to be. So I actually ended up actually like liking her trajectory this season.
I definitely loved that she and Chet were still together, and I liked the pregnancy storyline. I think the only, I guess I'm going to keep, like, this is like a record repeating myself. I think for me, the biggest issue with all of the characters is that, like, whatever they came up with in the beginning of the season, that's kind of where they still ended up. You know, I mean, she kind of comes back and she and Rachel get back together, but the whole time we see her as, oh, sweet, wonderful Quinn, and we don't see that darker side. And then we see Rachel crazy the whole time, and she always used to kind of come back and have some sort of regret or whatever. And it's kind of like, okay, they all kind of show a little bit of their old selves in the season finale, but, like, we've been here for 8 hours.
It's
so that's an issue that I think I had with all of the characters, but the same thing with Quinn. Like, I loved her storyline. Like, I like to see the positivity, but the snarkiness, the little smart comments, I mean, she used to have a genuine sort of edge to her that was gone.
Yeah, I think what they kind of tried to do this season was switch Rachel and Quinn a little bit, which was interesting. I thought she had some pretty, like, good quippy lines still, to be honest with you. Like, I wasn't lacking in those. I think she still had her same sort of sass. It was just in a different sort of capacity because she was dealing with much different issues. Like, it wasn't just the show anymore. It was, you know, her relationship with Chet, this pregnancy, and all of that, which was just a lot different than what we've seen her have to deal with in the past.
Yeah, and I think with Quinn and Fiona, too, I think she talked a lot about, like, you know, we can run this, we can do this as females, and I can get into narrative, I can do something different, and I think that that wasn't super out of character, that she wanted to go with Chet and make new shows and maybe leave this show and do something better. So I didn't think things were, like, crazy out of character for Quinn. For Rachel, yes. But for Quinn, I think that her character grew, and I think that that was okay by me. Like, I didn't mind that
she became
grew.
A better person.
Yes.
Yeah.
She still yelled at people, but it wasn't as much.
Sheryl Sandberg, you know, fire Sheryl Sandberg's nanny.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta give her, you know, what do you think she was doing? Like, she didn't have time to take care of her kid when she was leaning in. I mean, you know, there was some good stuff. And it's sad because the past, I guess it's been one season that Quinn, we know she really just wanted to have a baby, even though she didn't want to admit she wanted to have a baby. And, you know, she ends up having to... Well, first of all, it's August's baby. How heartbreaking for Chet. I mean, Chet should get the award of the season for being the best person.
He was.
I've never thought I'd hear anyone say that.
Yeah.
Right? Let's go back to the pilot, and he's just, like, doing blow everywhere and just having sex with whoever while he's married. His wife's pregnant. And now, you know, he's, like, the... unsung hero, I suppose.
Burying sonograms show. In the dirt. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, good, we need August's DNA. It's going to be a good-looking kid.
I know, yeah. He's like the, what do you say, something like the best sperm donor that you could ask for.
I mean,
great god of sperm donors.
Seriously, though, I bet you some wives would go, if they had a choice between their husband's sperm and August's sperm, be like, I just, do you mind? Like, can we just, let's just
Is he going to have the accent?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, does it come with man bun?
And amazing abs.
Yes. Amazing abs, of course. You know, we'll get into the finality with Rachel and Quinn, but first, let's get into Rachel. I do think, so when we saw the promo at the end of last season, we all go, okay, is she really going to be the sutress? We're so confused. Everyone goes, no, we were misled. We weren't. She's a complete psycho. She went and, like I said, casted this show based on who she wanted to bang and eventually marry. All of a sudden, I don't know if it was Jeremy leaving or whatever it was, made her want to get a ring on her finger.
I think she just went crazy in the cabin. I think she was alone and she just went nuts.
Yeah, I feel like the highlights fried her, like, personality. I'm not really sure, but that was, like, her hair looks great. Why is she so crazy now?
And she's obviously, like, she doesn't feel like she's getting enough attention from Quinn because she's with Chet now. I think that's, like, a huge driving force, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and it opened the whole series with, like, her on these, like, almost, like, Tinder dates, I guess, and, like, just trying to be who she thinks she's supposed to be, the way she tells the sutresses to be a certain way.
She's like a predator. These men are coming, and they're coming into production. I mean, and she's just like, oh, hey, how's it going? Like, the sec... I mean...
And her voice changed with every guy. Did you notice that? The, like, voice and the, like, I don't know, but maybe I can do this, Rodrigo. It was, like, so creepy.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, the way we end up leaving her is not hopeful for anybody. This lady should not be in the world. Like, who knows what she's going to freaking do next. Honestly. I mean, it could be really way worse than what she did, which is scary to think of. And this dude, Tommy... Talk about enabler and also another psycho. So Tommy, okay, I thought he was, you know, attractive dude. But like I said, he's Coleman 2.0. Don't understand exactly this. I just, what was the through line? Like, what was the point of having him? Did you guys enjoy him at all as a villain or no?
I just, he had no upper lip and it bothered me the entire series. I, like, could not deal it.
It feels like it's such a cycle, like, every season with the show, because, I mean, we had Coleman, and then we had Dr. Simon, which was, in a different sort of way, sort of the same-ish type of character, and then we had Tommy, and I'm like, switch it up, like, don't have a guy producer come in again and try to, you know, work with Rachel. I just felt like it was too repetitive, like, we've done the storyline before, like, for an entire season.
Yeah.
But because he's a games guy, it was different, you know what I mean?
It's like a challenge show.
And he offered his bonus to her, and it was more of an equal relationship of crazy versus, like, a good guy trying to make Rachel good, I guess was the difference. That's all. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think in the beginning, he was like, oh, the rules and all this stuff. And then somewhere he's like, oh, Rachel is crazy. I could get into it. So,
what pheromones does she give off? It's something that makes men wild. They take a whiff of her and they're like,
Shiri Appleby, what is this perfume you're wearing?
Yeah, seriously. Exactly. It's like some brand of crazy. I mean, maybe we should all invest in it because everyone loves her, but they hate her. I don't know how much longer.
Is it the damaged, like, girl thing? I don't know. Guys, let us know. What's this thing?
I mean, he's like, I'm going to watch you sleep with everybody on video and then propose. I was like,
Right after I saw the video.
I do have to say, his proposal was cute. Like, I hated that it came from him. I hated that she said yes. The marker thing, that was quaint. I liked it.
I'm imagining, like, calling my parents, getting engaged, being, what's the ring look like? And I go, it's actually really cute. He took a Sharpie to my ring finger.
How did he do it? He watched me sleep with a bunch of other guys first.
thank you on video. Yes. And then he was like, that's the one for me.
Commitment. I see commitment from her.
Well, okay, so the one thing I liked most about them was the scene where he took her to the crazy bar where there cosplayers for Everlasting. And it's so disturbing. There's a dead Mary walking around.
Oh, yeah, the dead Mary. Oh, poor Mary.
Dark. See, I kind of liked that.
I'm saying I did, too.
I was like, where is that bar? I want to go. Well, obviously,
is this trivia night?
Now we can't because it's over. But if it was, I would go.
Yeah, somewhere in Canada where they filmed.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. And it's such a high for Rachel. And then her hair starts falling out. And you go, it's all the mental drugs you've been being a terrible person.
I was totally confused by that whole hair falling out storyline. Like, honestly, I thought she was going to have, like, a real disease.
Yeah, I thought that,
too. So I was like, oh, my gosh, she's been diagnosed with something. That's why she's going to die. She's screwing all these people. That's why she's taking all this medication.
She has AIDS.
And cancer or something. I was going to say cancer more so than AIDS. But that's what I really thought. So I was like, and then she's like, oh, it's so stressed. It's making me sick.
Yeah, it was guilt. Oh. Like, yeah.
Okay. Like, so you could do something different and not take all that medication?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. So I thought they were going to go a little bit further with the whole hair falling out drama.
But she just told Quinn, basically, I'm stressed out, my hair's falling out.
Well, okay. Right. What I really wanted to see at one point was just a Britney Spears reenactment, like all of her hair out, you know. And then she shaves it, and then she takes bat, you know, to a car or something, chasing paparazzi. That would have at least given me some satisfaction at the end of this. I'm not going to lie.
Like, all of her season one, like, freak out when she, like, got drunk and ruined the final ceremony.
Good
one.
So good.
Oh, God, I know. I wish they really could have shown us more of that.
I know. That was brilliant.
And this compilation sex tape is released to the whole world on TV. Mm-hmm. And she she cares, but she doesn't, like, care that much.
Yeah, she just starts throwing. Is that when she throws the walkie? Or no, that was a different point. But she's just like, what are you all standing around for? Do your jobs.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, whatever. But she gets caught. And I like that, you know, I don't like the slut-shaming aspect of it. But at the same time, after everything she's done to anybody else, I would have been like, that's not cool. But after everything she's done, I was kind of okay with it, which makes me feel bad a little bit.
I think they were just showing that she's a manipulator more than, like, slut-shaming. They're just like, look what she's telling every guy what they want to hear, and they're all falling for it, and I don't think it was about the actual sex part.
I agree with you. The fact that she's just, like, completely lying and, like...
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Quinn ends up pinning the entire thing on Tommy. Poor dude.
I saw that coming from a mile away, but I still liked it. Not gonna lie.
Well, I guess that's the purpose of his character. We didn't get to like him enough that we cared that we would feel bad when they pinned all of it on him. And, that was, you know, it was repetitive, but also it's a good, you know, person scapegoat, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what his purpose was.
She was never gonna throw Rachel.
Yeah. And Rachel, you know, typical Rachel fashion, I suppose, decides to burn the whole place down.
But Quinn kind of wink-wink told her to.
Yes.
Also, I mean, burning the whole place down, they could just make another one. I know it's a lot of lost money, but if someone really, this studio network really wants to continue Everlasting, they can.
But I think it was more like the bad memories. It was just like,
oh, to resolve them.
Yes, it was like sage.
It was like symbolic. Like, you can never go back from this, you know.
Yeah, like we can't.
After you set up a rape, you just really can't
go back. Well, yeah, you've killed somebody in a season. You've gotten some.
They've
shot.
Killed three.
Yeah,
technically, there's three people that are dead.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Whatever. Seriously. She deserved to poop her pants on national TV. That's the only good thing Rachel did that I agreed with. Everyone was like, because I told you guys last season when Michael Brady came in and he's like, it's so terrible. And I was like, no, it's not. And he looked at me like I was a nutbag. And I go, she deserved it.
Hot Rachel. Hot Rachel.
Hot Rachel. And then, of course, we see it burning down. We end with Quinn and Rachel. Rachel just curls up into Quinn's little fetus. Basically, it's messed up. There's no baby there anymore. And now, like, 35, however old Rachel is just curled up in there again, like, from the start. And it's just this nothing is that different except for they burned down a building, I don't think.
And they kept each other's secrets to the grave, I guess. That's
yeah, I mean, I was really hoping someone would die.
Like, see, Rachel?
I thought it was yes. Like the perfect ending, honestly, because I mean the showrunners have said time and time again this is the love story between Rachel mm-hmm. and Quinn, and I think that final image that like it leaves you with, I mean the final image is the mansion burning down, which, you know, also a pretty good final image, but yeah. Of them just like curled up in bed together, like trying to be better people, like we don't know if that's gonna happen or not. I like that sort of ambiguous note they leave us on, and I think that it's good that it ends with the two of them like physically close. I thought it was a really good way to end, and I was really happy with the finale.
I was really happy that they ended together, but fundamentally I didn't get the whole Rachel, you can't have this baby. And now she, you know, Quinn decides, I guess, to have an abortion. Like, the whole thing about why Rachel can't accept her pregnancy or why Quinn can't have a baby kind of didn't really sit right with me. So that part I didn't really like. Like, oh, there was nothing really wrong with the baby. What, like?
Well, no, they said it was right because the baby was going to be very, very ill, I think.
Well, but that's Quinn what she lying. Said, but then in oh, the end, she right. was like, you were lying about that. There was nothing really wrong. And so I was like, was she lying or was she not lying? Like, if she was lying, if it was truthful, yeah, okay. But if you made that up to tell Chet because, I don't know, you don't think you can raise a kid? That part I felt uncomfortable
with. I didn't think so. That's terrible. I mean, it's not. Wow. I didn't mm-hmm. even think that. I mean, because Quinn wanted the. I think Quinn probably let Rachel believe that to make her feel better, is what I'm thinking.
No, I think she lied to Chet.
I think she lied to Chet.
You think she just didn't want the baby yes. at all?
I just think she never really did. And I think for Rachel, Rachel didn't want any attention away from Rachel. I think she wanted to be the daughter Quinn never had, and I think that was enough for both of them. And I don't think yeah. either one of them wanted more.
Yeah, and even when, I mean, the scene where she's smashing the TVs, she says that she wanted a choice. She didn't say that she even yes. wanted a kid. I don't think Quinn ever wanted to be a mother, truly.
She just wanted a choice. She wanted to know she could.
Mm. Wow, that's... It's intense.
Yeah. I think she wanted one, and I mm-hmm. thought that at the end, once she got past firing all the nannies, there were a couple of cute moments mm-hmm. with her and Chet Jr., and I was like, this is going to work. And then Rachel is just like you said, oh, I want to be, well, okay, is any jealous older kid, she'll get over it. Like, right. your friends get over you getting married or you having a kid or whatever. And, you know, she didn't, and she didn't have to. So, I don't know. So, hopefully, you are right, and she just told Rachel that. But, you know.
I think maybe in a way it was Quinn trying to be unselfish, too, though, because she knows that, I mean, I don't think that she can take care of a kid, and I think that she understands that. Like, I really just don't think that's who she is, and I don't think that's ever who she's going to be, no matter how hard she tries. So, it's like, even if a little piece of her does want it, like, she knows that's not going to be, like, a good life for the kid. And so she's yeah. not going to go through with it.
She knew her limitations.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, that's how it ends, guys. We, of course, have... This was a very fascinating season, I just think, mm-hmm. for a lot of reasons. Yes. Of television, socially, all of it, the politically... we have, well, actually, before we get to news and gossip, I just wanted to ask all of you guys, who has been your favorite of all time Everlasting contestant?
Oh.
That is so hard.
Like, think of, I don't know, just the top one.
I would say Faith. I loved Faith. And I really liked Candy this last season. But I think Faith was probably my favorite. I just love that actress, Breida Wohl. I think she's wonderful and... She really, like, made me feel yeah. things for her character. Yeah, I mean, and I guess Jay, if we're talking, like, the other side of things.
Mm, yeah.
I love Jay.
I would say, like, females-wise, I think I actually really liked Ruby.
Me too.
A lot. I think she's my favorite sort of female. I loved Candy. And... I guess on the other side, I guess Quinn is my favorite character.
I think she's not, I guess, technically a contestant, but I liked Serena a lot in season 3. I thought she was so interesting and fun to watch. And Caitlin Fitzgerald is just such a good actress, I think.
Yeah.
So I would say Caitlin, and then I gotta give it to Quinn. I love me some Quinn. And then I'm gonna give runner-up to Madison, because I've been on Team Madison since day one when no one else was.
Madison's special mention, of course.
Honorable mention to Madison.
I second that, because I love Madison as well.
Yeah. I'm a Ruby and I'm a Faith kind of girl. I also I think I really like Bart Edwards, but I liked Jasper. I thought he was really cute and really fun. I loved all the roses he gave her, and he was just, I don't know, that was a character you saw evolve. It was like, right, I said, man. Freddie Prinze Jr. from She's All That.
Oh,
you know,
great movie.
He starts off for a bet, but then he ends up falling in love, getting his heart broken.
I think we have to end on that.
No.
Such a good comparison.
Exactly. News and gossip, though, because people have some things to say about this season of Unreal.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Yes, so our lovely producer, Juliet, has a clip from the Hulu red carpet for the Paley Fest, I believe, and they were talking to Constance Zimmer about, you know, kind of the rebranding of Lifetime, and that's what the show was supposed to do. And so let's watch a couple minutes of Constance Zimmer.
Characters on the show, the female characters on this show, they're called certain names, and they take it as a compliment, right? When they're called bitch or they're called diabolical, they take it as a compliment. And in a way, I think this role is taking back some of those negative connotations that are sometimes hurled at women and turning them into a positive. Could you speak to that?
How calling a bitch, a woman a bitch, is a positive thing? Well, it's like, bitch, please! We have fun with things. We're trying to have a good time.
It's fascinating because to deal with the themes that you do with this series, I think people could have easily been off-put by some of the characters, because on the surface they do seem to some degree unlikable, and yet the way we watch Rachel, the way we watch Quinn, they're so compelling. You talk about bringing that humanity to them even when they're being so cutthroat.
That's so sweet. Yeah, I mean, we try really hard to make them as three-dimensional as possible, and even though they're doing awful things, they have their own journeys and their own struggles, and so I think if you can feel for Rachel and how much this world is killing her soul, maybe you don't hate her so much for destroying other women.
Well, I would love to talk a bit about the fact that this weekend...
Okay, and that, that was Shiri.
That was Shiri, yes. Sorry, we're on a different clip. So I also want to talk a little bit about Entertainment Weekly had some good things to say about this season, and I loved that they compared the Tommy-Rachel relationship to Cruel Intentions, because that's another one of my favorite, like, She's All That type movies. But they said this season was, like, a funnier Cruel Intentions with a weird kind of... They almost had a weird, like, stepsister sexual vibe with each other. So... Yes, so I liked that. And they also commented on the cosplayer scene when they go to the bar and Tommy and Rachel are there. And it's just looking around at all of these people, like the Dead Mary or whoever. And it's like they are completely oblivious to the emotional horrors that actually happen to the people, like Maya. And, you know, they were, like, chanting things at her, like, lock her up, which was crazy. And this journalist for Entertainment Weekly said that moment feels a lot like 2018 in general, how we're just kind of a little oblivious to the horrors of the things that we see. Mm-hmm. And also in another Entertainment Weekly article, Constance Zimmer was saying that she really wished the season had been finished on Lifetime, because it was kind of supposed to rebrand Lifetime's network, but she understands that, you know, for the fans to see everything and to get it out quicker, that Hulu was the, you know, way to go. And I also know, Sam, I don't know if you want to expand on this, about Shiri was just not very into this Maya storyline.
So another Entertainment Weekly article, they asked her, let's see, hold on, one second. Here we go. Okay, so what, with this being the final season, do you feel satisfied with where Rachel ends up? Is there anything you would have wanted to see her do more of, or that you wish you guys had more time for? She said, I mean, you always want to make sure your characters feel safe and that they're told a story, an emotional arc from the beginning to middle end, and I felt like we uncovered so much with her. I felt like we really got to see her evolve. She's a very smart character, and she was really just looking for a place and people in her life that could be real for her. And the big, big question of the entire article was them asking her about the storyline that we were all speaking of before. Speaking of which, what was your reaction when you read how awful Rachel would become this season, with setting up the assault just so she could give Maya a chance to confront Roger? And Shiri said, I mean, I was not into that storyline. I'm so amazed they did that. Because it was like, it shocked me, because I feel like there are ways you can deal with your history without doing it at the expense of other people. But it was definitely the way this character found a way to, again, try to make things right. And then they asked her when she was reading it how she kind of handled it. And her response was, well, did you watch it? She kind of had the same response, I think, that we all did. So,
yeah.
Pretty interesting. Why do you guys think Marty Noxon? I mean, like, why did she do this? And if
well, Marty left.
I'm sorry, not Marty.
Yeah.
Sarah.
Just want to clarify it.
Yeah, not Marty. Marty would have never done this. Why did Sarah do this? Sarah Gertrude Shapiro, especially if everyone else didn't seem on board, because Shiri's directed a bunch of episodes. She seems to have a very vocal voice in all of this. I just wish we could figure out what her mission statement in it all was.
I think it goes back to the thing, like I said, like, they really try to kind of have a conversation that pertains to things going on in the outside world and kind of have commentary on that. And I genuinely do think that's what she was trying to go for. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that it was executed well.
Yeah, I definitely think when it turned on Maya so quickly and for a few episodes even, like, mm-hmm. where they didn't, like you said, Quinn's character didn't try to get her out of jail, or, like, right. Noelle's character also didn't speak up, and it's like one of those things could have happened to where one of the other characters stepped in very strongly, or Noelle was kind of the crusader that came forward quicker. I definitely just feel like it could have been handled better, but I agree with Taylor that I think they were trying to make commentary on everything with Harvey Weinstein and just, like, powerful men or men just, you know, in sexual assault in general. It was just they wanted to say something about it in their unreal way.
And I just felt as well that because it's the final season that they just wanted to go, I guess, further than they did before, because kind of, you know, back to what you were saying earlier about the sort of ambiguity about the original date rape. Like, we never really saw it. We kind of thought it. And then she comes back and she's clearly impacted. But then even in her big reveal, she's still kind of confused. And then, you know, they lay it all on the line. So they didn't have to, but maybe they felt the pressure to just go all out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a part of, I thought it might be one of those endings where we're going to wake up and figure out this whole thing was a nightmare. This would be the only time in a show I would have said, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And it just felt like an FU in a way to the Me Too movement and everything. It just seemed like it was doing opposite of everything that we're trying to do, and it was purposeful. It didn't seem as though it was, oh, we're accidentally offending people. She knew that these things were going to trigger people, and that the character follow-up, I mean, I think it just, she didn't take enough responsibility with the character follow-up with these actions. Like, the actions are okay if at least we see some sort of satisfying, they're not okay, obviously, but as a viewer, if we saw a more satisfying ending, and teach us some kind of lesson, because I know that real life is what we want to, you know, what's portrayed on TV, what they try at the end of the day, too. It's TV. If we want to watch our real life, like, we can just watch the news.
Mm-hmm.
I want there to be some kind of message at the end, and I'm not really sure what that was, but I do think the creators and everyone that's been on the panel with us, you know, and me since the first season, because it's a show that I love. And thank you guys for being on the panel. We've had so much fun. We really have. We've had amazing guests, yeah. Absolutely fantastic guests. And we just love you guys. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being here with us. Taylor, where can everyone find you? And what else can they watch you on here at AfterBuzz?
Sure. Well, you guys can find me on Twitter at @Alphabet_Anne, on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. I also host the after shows for Sacred Lies. That's actually on Facebook Live instead of YouTube. Younger with Sam every Wednesdays at 10, and Law & Order SVU every Thursday.
What's up, party people? I'm Erica Edwards. You can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards. And for the LA people, I am doing a show this Thursday at the Laugh Factory at 7:45. So come get your awesome. Laugh on.
Hey guys, you can find me on Instagram at LMPowers15 and on Twitter at LeslyPowers15. And I am on the Sharp Objects after show, moderating that on Sundays at 8. We only have 2 episodes left, so please tune in.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43, Twitter and Instagram, and SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. Every Wednesday, we do a TV pilot review show here, which we love. I do Younger with Taylor, and then we have Riverdale coming up soon, so stay tuned for that, and keep the conversation going. We'll always look, and we'll always reply. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.